Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. When a couple's home is under renovation, they are invited to stay at a friend's house until the projects are completed. What they soon discover is that this act of goodwill comes with its own set of strings. String that seems to be pulled by the dead who linger in their friend's home night after night. That story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the show, become an extra podcast person. That's a supporter. When you do that, you get access to all of our episodes commercial-free, the entire archive, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of episodes. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. You get episodes in advance, and you also get those weekly EPP bonus episodes. So, tons of extras for you and no ads at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon. Search Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app or go to patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all that. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Oh, Tony, I'm just living the dream.
Why is that?
I don't know. What
kind of dream are you living? Is it a
stuck
nightmare?
Stuck inside my house.
Is it like a... Is it a good dream? Is it a bad dream? Is it
kind of a bad dream, Tony?
Yeah.
It's like the dream that you tested positive for COVID and you can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You
that
still
dream.
Feel fine.
That dream. You mean, Oh, but the thing is that wasn't a dream. That's just been our
that
nightmare.
Happened to me.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know what to say. Is it congratulations? Is it, I'm sorry to hear that. Is it, you'll get through it. Is it what do we
know? Yeah. I don't know because I feel fine. Doesn't mean I'll feel fine tomorrow. And
sure.
I don't even know that it means I have COVID.
Yeah, because you
tested positive. Yeah. I don't know.
You tested positive and then you took another test and it was negative. Yeah. See, my theory on the test is that it's not testing for anything. It's like it's triggered by like a vegetable or something. It's like you tested for asparagus. And that's why they're so inaccurate.
And they're probably just designed to like, so let's say this test is good 85% of the time.
Yeah.
So 85% of all the tests we send out are going to say negative.
Yeah.
And then there's 15% of them that will say positive.
It could be. I don't know. I mean, I think at this point we might as well just every time you go through the McDonald's drive-thru, it's like the Monopoly game. It's on the side of the cup. You peel the little sticker off and it says COVID or no COVID.
And just 15% of the tests are going to say positive.
And if you get it, then you have to quarantine. And it's all because you just peeled that thing. It doesn't even mean you have it like per se medically, but that's just how we should treat it.
At least if you peel the thing and it says you have COVID.
Yeah.
This is good for one free milkshake. Awesome.
Unless you're going to that Arby's.
Something fun.
Unless you're going to that Arby's that had the milkshakes where the manager peed into them.
You know, it's always something. I don't even want to know.
Oh, you don't know? You didn't hear this one? This is a real story. I'm just playing Something's Always Wrong because it's kind of true.
Well, the funny thing is that you told this story earlier, but as a character, it's something that you always do to make me laugh. And I thought that before we start recording, I thought that you were making that up.
No, I wasn't.
To make me laugh. And it did make me laugh.
Arby's milkshake. Police say Arby's manager urinated in store's milkshake mix.
Why?
Arby's manager in Washington State, manager Stephen Sharp, is also being charged with 4 counts related to child pornography because that's the type of guy he is. He's into child porn and peeing in your milkshake.
Now, so what came first, the peeing in the milkshake or the child porn?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like the chicken or the egg, but now it's peeing in milkshakes or child porn. Like chicken or the egg was a little more wholesome, but now it's this. He admitted
peeing in a milkshake or child porn. What came first?
The Arby's manager admitted to urinating in at least twice in the company's milkshake mixture, according to a report from the Vancouver police in Washington.
Twice?
The press release, they obtained footage of the night manager, Stephen Sharp, urinating into a milkshake mix container. Sharp confirmed the incident with police and said he had done it for sexual gratification. You're getting sexually gratified peeing into the milkshake mix at Arby's?
Oh, my God.
Gotta have that Jamocha shake. The Vancouver police said they're looking for individuals who may have purchased the contaminated milkshakes on October 30th or 31st of 2021. Well, happy Halloween to you. And the Arby's location at 221 Northeast 104th Avenue in Vancouver, Washington. Oh, my God. Local news outlet The Columbian said that the day Sharp allegedly contaminated the mixture, between 30 and 40 milkshakes were served, and cited a statement from another manager at Arby's was taken in court on Wednesday. Sharp said he was almost sure that he disposed of the mixture after urinating in it, but he also said it wasn't thrown in the trash. It would have been served the very next day, the publication reported. Oh, my God. And this is just the shit that people are getting caught for. You know, how much is all, you know, I would imagine the number of crazy shit like this that goes on in fast food restaurants or whatever. Because,
it kind of surprises me that they reported him for doing that, because seems like you would have just quietly fired him and then disposed of those machines and got new ones. Because you don't want the word getting out.
No.
That you're the Arby's. Like, nobody's going to come to your Arby's anymore.
No, that Arby's is
And that's
doomed.
No fault of the theirs. That's just like some sicko night manager.
It is.
Guy.
Yeah. It's horrible. I don't know. I wonder sometimes. I mean, it's funny. You go into a fast food restaurant. Usually it's a big mixture of people, of those that showed up to work that day. And some it's like, oh, they really seem nice. And then they're doing this and, they're good people. And then some, it's just like, I would not be at all surprised if while I'm sitting in my booth waiting for my food that they're urinating in the milkshake machine. Like, it would not surprise me.
Well, and it's really hard to find people to work.
Exactly.
Fast food, you know.
Exactly. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, I think technology is actually going to save us in all these areas where we're all like, oh, it's going to take away all these jobs of fast food workers. Like, yeah, it will, because no one wants to do them anymore.
And the next person they hire, it's like, we do want you to know that there are cameras, so if you pee in anything, we will see it.
Yeah. Just so you're aware, and maybe that, I don't know, does that make it more hot for the person that's into peeing? Ooh, I'm on camera.
You just made a good point.
Like,
I don't know.
Do you want to tell, like, it's a debate, like, do I tell? Because in the upside down world that we live in right now, is that going to be like a perk, you know, or something where it's like, ooh, cameras. I'm going to do it like right in front of it. I don't know.
That's messed up.
I know. There you go. There's a horror story for you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, my name's Kenneth, and I once lived at a house for a couple of months and experienced things that forever changed my life. I live in North Alabama, and I was about 30 or 31 years old in the first few days of a new relationship with my now girlfriend of 4 years. Well, needless to say, we found a place for us to stay together at a mutual friend's house that was undergoing renovations. It wasn't the nicest place, but I was so googly-eyed over my new relationship that I didn't care. I was having fun, but I remember the first time I walked into this house that I had odd feelings that came over me, the weight on my shoulders. Now that I found a few years to process this and play it all back, I'd say, day one, walking into the place for the first time, you could literally feel the atmosphere change. This feeling of dread, gloom came over me. Night one in the house, and it's late in the night, and me and my girlfriend are lying in bed. She's dozing off while I laid there. I was just lying there with her, and I started noticing the ceiling fan. It was not on, but it was slowly moving, almost like a small gust of wind is pushing it. But I stare at it for minutes because it never stopped. It just slowly kept turning. Oohed out, I get up and stick my hand around the ceiling fan, looking and feeling for drafts of wind or a source for moving the fan so slowly, but nothing. I lay back down and just blow it off to whatever it is. Then it stopped and started going the opposite direction, so slowly. I shook my girlfriend to try to wake her, and she never opened her eyes, but said, "What is it?" I told her the ceiling fan is going in both directions, and it's weird. She passed back out, while I laid there all night, till the sun rose, and watched the ceiling fan just slowly creep this way and then that way. It was so odd to me at the time, but I entered into day two with no thoughts or feelings that this house is haunted. Just that it was an odd experience. Days into living there, we started experiencing loud and violent bangs on the wall. When I would investigate and ask the other people living in the house who hit the walls or made those bangs, they always would claim it wasn't them. The bangs and crashes were frequent. I would try to trace these noises down as quick as possible, sometimes holding a baseball bat for self-defense because the crashes and bangs on the wall were really violent and loud. It had me scared, honestly. One night we heard the kitchen door violently slam, and when I ran to the kitchen to see what caused it, as I entered the kitchen, the chain link was swinging side to side as I looked at the door. I slowly walked to the kitchen door, and opening it led to a closed-in garage with another door leading outside of the driveway. But I check, and that door is locked. Nobody could have come in and did that. But some of the crazy experiences happened all in one day. Bluetooth speakers start static and white noises, not playing the music we were casting. One time the speaker made this god-awful shrill noise. To this day, I've never heard a speaker make this kind of noise. In our room, I walked into a spot of blowing cold air. Only way I can explain it is like sitting directly in front of an AC unit blowing wide open. Then one of the scarier experiences, in my opinion, happened. It was like a whisper in me, in her ear. Imagine a cat hissing. Talking in tongues. That's what we heard. Please contact me for the rest of the story. You guys are going to leave us hanging there. But cats talking in tongues, that's cats. Cats do that.
Yeah, mine do.
Yeah.
All the time. The new one, the kitten, all the time.
Well, yeah, that's cats sound really weird if you've never heard them talk before, but they do that. That's just a normal cat thing on that one. But
although my cat is adorable, but I have a new kitten. It is adorable. But cats. So the cats were hissing and talking in tongues.
I guess so. But if a cat's upset at something, it's going to talk to it.
Well, and it was like my cat just stretches in the middle of the night, sound asleep, and goes meow, meow,
yeah.
Meow.
So maybe the cat.
So my kitten, the kitten literally talks in its sleep.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cute.
That is cute.
But like, there's so many weird things that happen there. It's like, it's not any of it is like your normal haunting sort of things. Mm-hmm. They were all kind of like just weird mess with you sort of thing.
Yeah.
Too. You know, like weird electronic things, you know,
I would say the cats were probably sensing something, and that's why they were reacting the way that they did. But I don't think the cats were like possessed or anything. But I think there's something going on there. I mean, especially when you know, get like
seriously, like two. One time, my old cat Bob, who I lost when he was 20 at Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and he was a kitten. He was really tiny, and so I'd never had a male cat before, and so I'm like, I'm gonna take him in and get him fixed, not totally sure when. So the whole, I don't know if he started sensing a cat in heat outside, I don't know, but I'm literally in bed one night and he started making this sound that sounded something like a possessed demon baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was loud, and I woke up from a dead sleep thinking I had a possessed demon baby in my house. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I live by myself. I don't want to go investigate this, but who else is going to?
Yeah.
And then, so I had to get up and kind of follow the sound, and I realized it was my cat.
And then you walked into the other room and you discovered that he had made a gourmet meal for you, had lit candles, had roses on the table and some catnip, and he was trying to seduce you as well.
No, then I looked up and saw the possessed demon baby and went,
okay.
You. But so cats can make really bizarre sounds.
They can. It's fun.
But I wasn't there, so I don't know. You know, cats talking in tongues is different than, you know, that kind of sound I heard. But it did sound like a possessed demon baby.
Animals make interesting noises. And Yeah. Like raccoons. You ever hear them at night?
No, what do they do?
When they're in their trees and stuff at night, when they have little ones, it sounds like crying children in trees.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's creepy.
I've never heard that sound.
Yeah.
I'm glad you told me because now I'm going to hear it and go,
yeah.
Is that a crying baby? No, Tony told me about raccoons.
Yeah. My parents' house in Wisconsin, there's like
we have a lot of them around here.
Yeah. There's a family of them that live up in the trees there behind their house. And it was like bad a couple summers before I had moved out when I was 18. I remember like if you had your windows open at night for the air, you would hear these sounds. I was like, what the hell is that? And it literally sounded like there was babies on all the branches crying. It was horrible. It was so creepy. And that's just the noise that they make. It sounds like crying children.
And is it the raccoon babies crying? Or is it just the mom going, come here?
I think it's both. I think it's the babies crying for the mom and the mom communicating. So I think it's like it's back and forth communication.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
At least I know.
And then it gets really weird too, because then they also, while they're in this state for a couple months, when the babies are like this, then the raccoons also hang upside down crucifixes from your trees. And that gets a little weird when you go out there in the night and you shine a flashlight up and there's crucifixes upside down hanging from trees and crying babies on the branches. That's where it gets weird. But
it's like, just point at him and go, raccoons, you guys.
That would be a horrible, like, go and just, like, hang a bunch of upside-down crucifixes in the trees, like, kind of where you don't really notice them unless you, like, had a flashlight at night. Then if somebody's, like, you know, Airbnb-ing it at your house, and then they go out to look, and they're like, oh, my God. And they hear the crying babies, and there's crucifixes hanging in the tree.
And then you never get another Airbnb reservation again.
I'd love to see that review of that experience. Don't stay here. There's crying babies in the trees and inverted crucifixes hanging from the walnut. There you go. Good times. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this one. It says, hi, this is Caitlin from Montreal. I'd love to share a story with you. Well, I'm not sure it's ghostly. It's definitely unexplainable. About 5 years ago, my boyfriend Max and I went on a little holiday to California. We rented a car in Los Angeles and planned to drive up the coast and camp in a few places. It was our first time there, and we wanted to fit a lot of activities in. We decided later in the day to hike in one of the national forests, so we figured we'd drive there, stay in a motel or bed and breakfast nearby. This was a bit before smartphones, so we were just winging it. Nearing the forest, it was pretty late, maybe 11 p.m. There was a main street of a small town there, but there were no motels or signs pointing to the direction of any. We figured we'd wind our way through the forest and find a town on the other side. The road through the forest was very windy because it was dark. We really couldn't see anything. We decided it might be fun to just car camp and wake up in the forest and hike first thing. So we began looking for roads that led deeper into the forest off the main route. We traveled about 20 minutes off the main road and found an area where we could pull the car into and sleep for the night. We'd rented a very small car, so sleeping in it was rather difficult. I pulled the back seat down and slept with my head in the trunk and my legs coming out into the back seat. Max put the front seat back and slept up front. It was pretty cozy, and we drifted to sleep. I'm not sure how long we had been asleep, maybe a few hours, when I awoke to a loud, rhythmic sound. After I was truly awake, I no longer was in a sleep daze. I realized it was a loud bass from hip-hop music or something like that. When I pulled my head out of the trunk, I saw that a car had pulled up 15 or so meters behind us and had its lights on and music blaring where I could clearly hear the bass. My heart started racing. I think, okay, we're in the middle of nowhere. It's the middle of the night. We're going to get killed by some psychopaths. It took quite a bit of yelling to wake Max up. He was not as concerned about the car as I was, but was convinced I had to drive elsewhere. If I had been driving, we would have been out of there in 2 seconds, but Max was groggy and taking his time. I was really starting to panic because I felt like something very bad was going to happen. Keep in mind that a frighteningly loud rhythmic boom, boom, boom from the car's bass was echoing throughout the silent and deserted forest. Just as I was getting hysterical, Max started the car and floored it out of there. As we were driving, I kept looking for the car behind us, but didn't see it follow us. On the way back to the main road, though, we saw a barrier blocking the road, one that hadn't been there as we were coming in. Max wanted to turn back to find a different route, but I was out of the car and moving the barrier before he could make a move. I wanted to get back on the main road and out of that forest. A ghostly experience? I don't know. It still scares me to think about it. That would be, that's like a, just the perfect creepy, horrible night.
Well, and like they had me at, and then we decided to stay in our car in a forest and we went deeper into the forest. And I'm like, bad idea. Like, that's what scary movies, like that's the basis for any scary movie. It starts with that kind of shit.
But it's not going to happen to you.
Why wouldn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. Because it's only in the movies.
But it's kind of weird. I thought it would be like they woke up and saw this, woo, or like crosses hanging from the trees and crying babies.
Yeah.
But like that was very unexpected. That was the plot twist. It was like the booming bass of some urban hip hop music or something. I thought that was kind of interesting. That's what made me feel like it wasn't haunting. Because nobody ever talks about that kind of music when they're talking about a haunting.
Now maybe they will, though.
Maybe.
I don't know. It would be one of those things that in the moment you're looking at going, this is terrifying. But I think years later you look back on that going, that was one hell of a night. Because it
was
just
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you could relive it, knowing that everything worked out, you would. But if you didn't have that assurance, I don't think you'd ever go back and try to do that one again. But scary story. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Brandy from Wapello, Iowa. I'm just calling. I don't really have a lot today, but you guys on a show a few days ago were talking about can people that get in bad car wrecks when they pass away come back looking like they did before the car wreck or after the car wreck or whatnot. And I think I might have an answer for that. I'll give a little backstory and then I'll go into the ghost part of it. It'd be my mom's cousin had passed away in a car wreck. He actually got decapitated. His mom never found out what happened. It was a closed casket. She didn't want to know. The dad didn't want to tell her. So they just kept it as it was bad. She didn't need to see it. So into the story, I guess. She was haunted by him in their house. She had him show up a few different times. And when she'd see him, she said he was wearing what he was wearing the day of the car wreck. But he looked normal, no issues or anything, no marks on him. She said he looked good. And she would see him around her house every so often. But at first I wasn't sure if she was just thinking about him or if it really happened. And my mom used to go to her house and help her out by doing dishes and household chores for her, just basically to keep her company. And she was in there washing dishes one day and she felt a tap on her shoulder and she's like, "Yes, Aunt Donnie?" And my aunt, be my great aunt, she's like, "What, dear?" And my mom's like, "You just tapped me. What did you need?" She's like, "I didn't tap you, dear." Then mom's like, "Oh, okay. What about doing the dishes?" And then she felt it again and she turned around that time and she's like, as she was getting ready to say, "Yes, Aunt Donnie," she seen her cousin Butchie. He was standing right behind her and then he was gone. He vanished. And mom's like, "Aunt Donnie?" And she's like, "What's wrong, dear?" And mom's like, "I just seen Butchie." And Aunt Donna Jean said, "Yes, he's here. He's probably the one that's been tapping on your shoulder. He just wants you to see him." And mom said also from what she got to see of him, she said it was just a quick little glimpse of him, but it was him and he looked normal, like everything was fine and that he was really there. So that's all I have on that story. I do have another quick one if I have time to get it in here. It would be with my grandmother and my Aunt Donna Jean, the one that lost her son in a car wreck. They were kids coming home from school. They lived in Columbus Junction, Iowa. And they were coming home from school and they seen who they called the crazy lady next door in her rocking chair on her roof. And Grandma went inside and asked her mom, why is crazy old Miss Johnson, I don't think that's her last name, but crazy Miss Johnson up on her roof in the rocking chair? And my grandma got her mouth smacked. And she's like, why, mom, why did you smack me? She's like, you don't talk ill of the dead that way. She passed away and you don't talk like that. And grandma's like, no, she is outside in the rocking chair on the top of her house. And my Aunt Donna Jean said, yes, mom, she was. I seen her too. And they went back outside and sure enough, she wasn't up there. But grandma did say she looked as real as could be. She was in normal clothes, a normal dress that she would have worn on any other day. So I don't know. I don't know what they come back dressed like, but or looking like, but those were two stories that I had been told, and I'm going to guess they look like everyday normal people. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. Thoughts?
They're both good stories. I kind of think that when it's a loved one, they would come back to you as you would recognize them.
You'd hope so. I just wonder how much it's a choice.
I think if they're going to do it to be mean and scare the shit out of people, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're going back to, like, let your mom know, look, I'm on the other side, I'm okay.
I would totally do it in a freaky way.
You would.
Yeah.
Now, you're Tony.
Like, power would suddenly go out in the house, and then, like, weird noises would start, like, coming through the radiator vents. And then, you know,
I'm just telling you, if something was ever to happen and you were to haunt me, I would be pissed off.
That's how you know it's me.
I'd be like, you little shit. Scaring the shit out of me.
I'll come back in the form of former pets. And then I'll just like show up and like pet me. And then I'll like suddenly morph into something with like red eyes. It'll be great.
Tony, as I like raise my fist to this guy, Tony.
Tony. Yeah,
but I think like in a case like that where, you know, the guy comes back to see his mom, like, I think that's kind of sweet.
It is. It really, truly is.
And the fact that like she felt somebody tap on the shoulder and then it's like, oh, that's probably who it is, dear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh. This happens all the time around here.
Like, but of course, that's just the norm. Yeah. Let's do one more call before we wrap it up for today. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, it's a Beth. Coming back with another of my dad's antiques that he's done since he passed away in February. I know I told the story. You said it would make Carol cry, but I think this one will make her smile, especially your daughter. Tell her I said I thanked her for liking my story. But I was talking to my mom on the phone again. It seems like he likes pulling these antiques while she's upset and crying to me. And she goes, oh. I said, Dad visited? She says, I don't know. Somebody poked me in my back. And she says, I'm looking. There's nobody there. But somebody's trying to get my attention. I said, yeah, it's Daddy trying to get your attention because you're being upset. Talk to me while you're on the phone. And he never did like that. She goes, oh, you're right. That's right. And that's what you get for being married for 59 years, knowing each other, even for death and life. Life and death, excuse me. Well, I was laying there because I'm still in the nursing room, laying in bed, being frustrated because I can't do what I want to do and help her out. And all of a sudden, I had to crack up. And it wasn't that late at night, because something poked me. And I called her up and I said, "Mom, you need a laugh, right?" And she goes, "Yeah." Well, I said, "Your poker is back." She goes, "What? Remember your poker on your back?" She said, "Yeah." I says, "I was laying here in bed and something poked me with the bars on the bed." And she goes, "Were you feeling sorry for yourself?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's your daddy. Like you said, not trying to make me upset. That's your daddy telling you not to feel sorry for yourself." So I got a funny reaction from that. It actually made me laugh. I know that he's still around and he's watching out for us. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. She's great. I love that she listens.
That was so sweet. Yeah. Because he liked to think that, you know, and actually in her case, life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I get why you would have thoughts like, you know, you're sad or depressed or something. But it's nice to know that your dad's like, "Hey,
yeah,
I'm right here. I got you."
Mm-hmm.
That's just sweet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good one. I really like that. So please, yes, please continue to always share your stories. I know you call yourself the pest, but you're not. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like it, become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the archive. It's all there, all commercial free. We do greatly appreciate that. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts as well. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.